There's a cat snoring on my bed. So if you hear something adorable, that's it.
And there's a dead mouse under it.
No, there was a dead mouse under it, which I like to imagine was a gift from said cat.
Yeah, it's kind of cute when you think about it.
I'm like, you know, there are four beds in this flat, and to pick mine, it must be something special.
Not to be that person that talks about her cat and how awesome she is, but my cat is just genuinely awesome, and she's just a princess, and she's very sweet and, like, low maintenance. And the one time she ever killed a mouse, she just, like, daintily put it in the middle of the door of my bedroom. Mm. She didn't put it on the bed. She didn't put it under the bed. She put it right in the middle as her little offering, and I was like, wow, aren't you so droll?
She's a real classy broad, that girl.
She's a classy broad. Have you been watching Euphoria?
So I've just started. I watched the first two episodes of the third season. I had no intention of watching it, but then it got into like a viewing, group viewing situation. It's just a different show. Sam Levinson obviously like got incredibly bored with the show that he contractually has to make and decided to like make his, I don't know, what feels like his weird, pathetic attempt at like a
crime thriller.
Altman, PTA type Los Angeles crime, multi-stories. Like, and I went back to watch the first episode of the first season of Euphoria after I watched this new season because Rue's character was so different. I can't believe Zendaya is doing this, really.
Or any of them. Like, they're all huge stars now.
I know, it's insane. But he clearly got bored of writing this character of Rue completely because she now feels like a weird like attempt at like a Robert Altman-y kind of protagonist. Like she's stumbling around. She basically like you can tell he just doesn't want to write women because there's a line where she's like, I'm basically a dude. And she so like spoiler alert, she becomes like a pimp or she's like working for a pimp and she's so horned up in a way that Rue's character on the original seasons felt like she was defined by her sort of anxiety and her relationship with Jules was like very complicated. But in this, she's like, and it's like, I don't, God bless her, love Zendaya. She cannot pull it off. Like she's eyeing up all of the like strippers and like the women in the show. It's not believable at all.
I love Zendaya, but she has her limitations. I feel like she does really thrive in the role of Rue, especially with the drug addiction stuff.
Yeah,
but then like in other projects you can see maybe the limits of her abilities. But I'm a sucker for a crime caper. I love a crime thriller. I love criminal underbelly. But to do that in like current day LA with a bunch of like Gen Z teenagers is just kind of like, okay, like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel, it's just so lame. Like it's so derivative and he's so like he's just kind of stupid, Sam Levinson.
It's giving Riverdale in that it's just, it's like, well, what if we took the characters with these names and just put them in a completely different setting and context that has nothing to do with anything?
Yeah.
Because, like, Rue, who I feel like if you were to give any merit to the original seasons, it's that the depiction of her addiction is, like, really well done. Zendaya is, like, fucking incredible in that role, like, in those early seasons. It's such, like, an in-depth representation of that whole situation. In the show, or, like, in this new season, she's like, yeah, I got clean, and then I, like, relapsed. So then I got clean, and then I relapsed. And now I'm still relapse, and I haven't been sober since. And she's just functioning completely normal. She's not a junkie. She's not like, you know, like on the original seasons, like when all the lights change and she like stops talking and is, she's a completely, I don't know.
She's a cartoon. And it's just so funny because everyone during the second season, I haven't watched the third season. I'm not going to. I do not care. It would just irritate me.
I want to hear your opinions. Like, I want you to please.
Maybe I'll watch it, but it's funny because like all of the feedback that people gave him in this from the second season was that like he's at his strongest when he's writing about addiction because it's like he's writing from personal experience and all of the Rue stuff in the second season was what kept it afloat. So to just abandon mm-hmm. that is like you are such a prick. He's just so arrogant. Like it's like you've just betrayed everything that made you famous and you're too stupid to do anything else. And here you are making like this stupid bastardized show. And making just, like, a lukewarm, like, reheated version of way better material that you can't pull off because you're not a visionary. And it's like, now knowing that he, yeah, like, all of the stuff that made season one great was, like, mostly just because it was lifted from Petra Collins and, like, from his collaborations with Labyrinth and stuff, it's like, okay, so what actually do you bring to the table? Truly.
Nothing. He's a film bro in the spirit of many enthusiastic, but, like, perhaps not especially talented or intelligent young film bros who happen to have, like, the right connections and daddy's money and now this insane HBO budget to get away with whatever ridiculous hubristic male filmmaker bullshit he wants to get away with. And by the way, like, in this new season, his obsession with pushing sexual morals in, like, ways that actually aren't that interesting or groundbreaking or especially, like, helpful continues in this new season, because, like, every character is working in sex work in some dimension, and there's something so bleak about having this show full of these really originally rich and empathetic young female characters who are all going through these, you know, their unique experiences, and, like, I think in a way that was handled kind of interestingly in the first season.
The first season is great.
Yeah, we flash forward 5 years later and they're all... Jules is a sugar baby. Cassie's doing OnlyFans. Maddie is a manager for people doing OnlyFans. Rue is, like, working for a pimp. The only one who isn't doing that is Lexi because she's working in TV, and who gives a fuck about that character?
I hate that Maude character.
Yeah.
The betrayal of the Cassie character to me is just one of the ickiest things ever. Taking this character who is, like, so affected by her own, like, objectification and sexuality, and the way it, like, makes her kind of implode, or, like, the way that it makes her, like, hypersexual, and then taking that and just turning her into such a character, like, a bimbo caricature, is so evil. Like, it's just cruel. I hate when people have contempt for their characters. I really hate that.
It's shitting on his own work, because I think, like you're saying, there was so much nuance to that character originally, and there was, like, he was bringing, I think, a really interesting perspective to it, or, like, not perspective, but, like, a take on it.
And I think that was mostly coming out of his collaborations with actors and writers.
Yes.
This is him doing full solo. So, yeah, that's funny. So she's an OnlyFans model.
And she's marrying Nate, and they live in this weird 70s style, like, McMansion. The decor is really ridiculous.
Of course, because Sam Levinson just wants it to look like a 70s movie.
Well, exactly, yes. And... oh my god, the first episode has this way drawn out scene of Chloe Cherry and Zendaya shoving condoms full of drugs down their throats. Like, it is so gratuitous.
Like, Requiem, dude, for a Dream style.
Yeah, and then, like, Chloe Cherry's character shits herself. It is like, you fucking hate women, don't you? And it sucks because you made us think that you didn't.
Yeah.
At first. And you tricked us.
You tricked us,
but no, it's just, like, humiliating.
It's also taken this show so fucking long to be made. Like, the first season came out 6 years ago. Seven years ago.
Yeah.
And it's only on its third season. Why is this taking so long? Like, because, wait, you're filming everything on 35 millimeter? Like, I don't understand.
Because this man has, like, unchecked ADHD, perhaps, and... I don't know. I would think that if a, like, not to play the woman card, but I would think that if a woman director went ahead and pulled that shit and, like, made people wait this long for a follow-up season to such a big hit of a show, that role would get taken away from her. Someone else would be brought in.
Wait, for example, like The Idol?
Well, yes.
I'm very tired of stupidity in filmmaking these days. I'm tired of stupid people getting projects greenlit and, like, writing their own projects. I'm really just tired of it. I think you need to be smart to be able to write your own film. And I'm tired of these dumbs writing their own stuff. I'll say it. I don't care. I think there's a lot of taboo around calling people dumb. And guess what? Some people are dumb. And Sam Levinson is dumb and not smart enough to write an entire series. And this is just the outcome of that. Like, that and just, like, contempt. And it's just boring because it's just swallowing so much space in an industry where shit could be better. I went to see a movie last night called Tous les matins du monde, which means all, I think it's like all the mornings of the world or all the mornings in the world. Mm. And it's like the French Amadeus kind of. It's about like a French composer and his basically mentor and their relationship and his relationship with the mentor's daughters and stuff. And it's just, it's fascinating seeing a film that's just so restrained. I feel like a lot of 90s films, they were not doing crazy camera work. It was all about like the acting, like there's such subtle acting happening here. It's so pulled back, but it's not boring. And I'm like, it's so hard for people to just strike a balance with that these days. Like either you're getting this like full-blown slop like Euphoria, or you're getting like the most boring thing you've ever seen in your life. And I just would like something in the middle. But yeah, I saw it at the Roxy. It was great.
I'll have to check it out, but I agree.
Defund Sam Levinson.
For real though. Lock him up. Also, I had complained about my eye floaters in a previous episode, and I've been getting helpful input from our patrons. And update, went to the optometrist. My eyes, completely healthy. I just happen to have a lot of floaters, unfortunately. And eye static, which I didn't know was a thing, but it's kind of like tinnitus for your eyes. My optometrist was also like, you really shouldn't be wearing your glasses unless you're watching a movie. Or driving at night, which I don't do.
This is so annoying.
So apparently I have 20/20 vision.
Good job, girl. I do not have 20/20 vision. And I have extreme dry eye syndrome, which I used to think was called astigmatism, but that's not what astigmatism is.
No, I do have astigmatism, actually.
I don't believe you. You're crazy. Just kidding. But I have bad eyes, and I've had them since I was in high school. And so fuck you, Hannah.
Sorry. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Maya.
And this is Rehash, a podcast about the internet phenomena that strike a nerve in our culture, only to be quickly forgotten, but we think are due for a revisiting. This season is part two of a loose, no pun intended, history of sex on the internet, the symbiosis of our two most basic instincts, innovation and getting off. If you like our show and you want to hear more from us, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/rehashpodcast, where we have monthly bonus episodes, weekly mini episodes, and early access to our regular programming. If you don't want to join the Patreon, feel free to rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, because that helps us out a lot. Today we're talking about thirst traps. Maya, can you give a simple, like, popular definition of what a thirst trap is?
From my understanding of the thirst trap, it's when a person composes an image so desirable, so titillating, that it gets the attention of the audience of their choice, I suppose. Or that's like the intention of taking this photo.
Yeah. A photo or a post posted with the intention of, you know, yeah, generating attention.
Attention of a sexual variety.
Precisely. Ding, ding, ding. So it can seem like a pretty straightforward concept, but I know even from past conversations with you that what actually falls under that definition can sometimes be subjective. And so going into this episode, I had all these questions pertaining to, like, who posts thirst traps, who responds to thirst traps, and why we do either. And to help answer them all, I decided it was time to conduct Rehash's first ever scientific study, which is an anonymous survey on thirst traps. So we're going to unpack the results of this study later in the episode.
Wow.
But first, before we do so, I want to talk a little bit more about the concept of thirst in general and, you know, the history really of, like, the usage of thirst. So obviously, when we use the word thirst in this context of the thirst trap, we are using it figuratively. And this kind of use for the word goes back centuries. Merriam-Webster has, like, this really great article on the etymology of the term thirst, where they pull these, like, uses of thirst from the 17th century. Stuff like hungry and thirst after God's word, or you see my swords not thirst for your life. And this article notes that words which often followed thirsty included wisdom, knowledge, and details. And so with that in mind, like, yeah, what does thirst in like a metaphorical sense evoke for you? Like, what does it convey?
Carnal hunger, I guess, or like a carnal yearning, I suppose. Like, oh, I'm approaching you from a place of deprivation. Like, I'm thirsty, I'm dehydrated, I'm starving, and you are the object that can like fulfill that need in me.
Yeah, like a desire, a craving, a longing. I feel like this use of thirst is like very powerful and very evocative, and also like, at least in the examples above, fairly like neutral or even positive in like their value. But I find it interesting because would you say that today, especially like on the internet, like there's a negative connotation to the concept of thirst or like the word itself?
Well, I think there's like a few things happening, but I think in the realm of like, we have a bonus episode about simps, but the idea of kind of like prostrating yourself at the feet of a person for sexual reasons is seen as kind of like, in terms of male culture, like kind of non-masculine. And then I don't know, I think in general culture, it's seen as kind of like pervy or like goony. Like, I think that all of these new terms that are kind of coming out, like gooner, simp, whatever, are exposing a kind of fatigue with this kind of like horny culture of the internet, I guess. And the, like the prevalence of sexual imagery and people thirsting for it, I suppose.
And I think also on the flip side of that, there's the idea of being thirsty for attention as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thirst definitely has come to have this like sexual connotation within the context, or like within certain contexts online, that makes it a bit more specific than when it was used just to describe like any kind of desire or wanting. But there's also then thirsty slangily used online to indicate that like you are desperate, like you are not desiring for another person, you're desiring to be desired in a sense, which I think that to me feels like the origin of this really like negative interpretation of, I guess, thirst.
Being attention seeking in general, I think, is like looked down upon on the internet, but it's also like the most pervasive state of being on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first entry for thirst on Urban Dictionary was in 2003. And the definition given was when y'all don't know what the deal is and you just thirst in for more. So here it's actually being used very similarly to the above like examples of, you know, a thirst for knowledge. But again, there's already like this more negative connotation because, you know, you're desperate for more, basically, is what they're saying. But it's, you know, it's not yet a metaphor for lust. Then 3 years later, in 2006, there's a new entry on Urban Dictionary under the word thirst, which uses it specifically to imply horniness. Their definition was just, they are really wanting of a girl and/or my sister, who I imagine is probably also a girl.
They are wanting other girls/my sister?
No, they're wanting of a girl and/or my sister.
Is that like the entire description? Like there's nothing that comes before that? That's really funny.
I think they're like, somebody is thirsty if they are wanting of a, but.
Right, right.
Their definition of thirsty included someone is thirsty if, which to me felt.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and they want my sister so bad.
If they want a girl or my sister, and my sister,
and or that's awesome.
And so, I love this quote from Merriam-Webster from the Merriam-Webster article that I was mentioning before, where they talk about thirst used in like that kind of a context. They say, use of thirsty in this way keeps avidity in the realm of the carnal, with all that such imagery entails, incorporating a sense of urgency, immediacy, and physicality. And that kind of gets at what you were saying before as well. It's like, kind of transforms it from a want to a need, which I think is why it works so well to describe sexual urge or like sexual longing.
It's like, I'm in the desert, I see a mirage, and it's your booty.
Oh, someone write that in Sanskrit.
I need my booty, you know.
Yes. So thirsty in certain contexts online becomes synonymous with horniness, of course. And this would make way for the thirst trap a few years later with the advent of social media. So thirst trapping picks up in the mid-2010s with the rise of like Instagram's popularity. People like Kim Kardashian, Amber Rose, and Drake become known for their thirst traps. This is also, you know, like the time of ass pics and like people debating if it's feminist or not to like post naked on Instagram. So
to show hole.
But the thirst trap is, you know, half-heartedly politicized, I suppose, at this time. Right. And then obviously with the pandemic, there was a noted rise in people being horny on Maine. We're all trapped inside. We all need some kind of outlet. So people are posting more thirst traps. People are more responsive to thirst traps. Everyone's got to get their itch scratched, I guess. Only time I've ever posted what I guess you could call a thirst trap was in the pandemic.
That's funny because I feel like there was this beautiful era of like 2015 to 2017 of this like kind of post girls rise in diaristic like confessional content among women on Instagram. It was like kind of the era where women would film themselves like dancing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, on camera. Well, speaking of Petra Collins, like that kind of photo boothy. Yeah.
I fully posted my video of myself dancing with this like prop gun, which looking back at it looks like fully a real gun. Like it's like such a convincing prop. And it was like supposed to be ironic, but obviously not at all. Also a thirst trap. But I feel like that was when I was posting the most thirst traps. Like there was a lot of like kind of photo booth pick or like it would be like matching underwear sets. Like I was kind of showing hole back then. I don't know. And then I kind of moved into like more swimsuit photos. And now it's just like, I don't know if I would post any of those in the same way, I guess, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But yeah, for me, it was pre-pandemic.
I feel like I didn't quite have that bravery. I feel like I was just like too cognizant. I feel like the pictures I was posting during that era were weird, but not like especially sexy.
Nice.
But yes, no, I totally know what you're talking about.
In the pandemic, I used to have to force Hannah, like she'd be like, Maya, I want to post a sexy photo. And I'd be like, okay, like, what do you want to do? And then we'd like have an entire sit down discussion about how Hannah would post her thirst trap. And then at the last minute, she'd be like, no, I can't do this.
Exactly. Except I did post one kind of, it was like, I wasn't wearing a shirt, but you couldn't see the front. It was like from my back. It was a photo booth photo. And it was like taken like from over the shoulder or something.
So you took your shirt off in the photo booth?
No, like a photo booth, like laptop photo booth photo.
Oh.
This was like in the pandemic. It worked a little bit.
You got your desired attention.
Not really my desired attention. It was more of like a surprise.
Nice.
And then, okay. TikTok has also created this like whole new genre of thirst trapping, which like specifically for young men, which is the seductive lip sync. And that is not really what this survey is going to be touching on. Like we're old. The people I sent it to are old. This is all about like good old fashioned Instagram. But I just wanted to acknowledge the hard work of like butch lesbians and like pretty young men who are thriving on the thirst trap side of TikTok.
Yeah, the Hey Mama's lesbians and their like wife beaters and like gold chains and bobs. Yeah, they were putting in hard labor on TikTok for a while there. And like people eat it up. You could be corny as hell and the girlies love that.
Yeah, well, Vinny Hacker from TikTok is on the new season of Euphoria. And he's one of those boys that became famous for being like, ooh, and like lip syncing at the camera.
That's why he popped up on my feed again. And I was like, who is this guy? And then I remembered he was like this freaking like, was like 19-year-old who blew up on TikTok. Yeah. A 19-year-old Chad, if you will.
I guess he is a Chad.
He's like a surfer Chad. I feel like
all those guys are also kind of skinny. I actually, to be honest, didn't know who they were at the time.
Yeah, that's good. I'm embarrassed that I knew who a 19-year-old Chad was. Giga surf Chad.
In the years since we've left lockdown, have you noticed any shifts in the culture of thirst trapping or its prevalence?
I love when you say trapping, like as if people are trapping. Okay, well, I guess, yes, I've seen a decline. Or maybe this is just in me. Like, this has actually really gotten me thinking about my own posting habits. And I feel like I used to post myself a lot more. I guess I still post about myself, but I think my Instagram has become a lot more intertwined with my career. Whereas, like, a few years ago, it was a lot more just, like, me signaling to other people that I think I'm hot, I guess. But, yeah, and I guess, like, maybe the older I get, the less comfortable I am being, like, sexy on the internet, which kind of bums me out. Like, I don't want to feel that way. I still want to feel like being sexy, and I'm not old. But, yeah, I've seen a bit of a decline. I mean, there is kind of, like, a distinctive aesthetic in New York of thirst traps where it'll be, like, super, super, super skinny girls who look very young, but, like, some of them aren't even. And they post kind of, like, there's a lot of, like, nipple pictures. You know what I mean? Like, wife beater, no bra type vibe. That's a kind of a big thing here. Or, like, thigh gap photo.
The thigh gap photos are back. Jesus Christ.
Kind of, but not in the same way. Like, it's a lot. It's a little more, like, emo. But
oh, there's emos here, too.
Yeah. It's weird. I would say that that's kind of the vernacular of, like, New York thirst trap. That's kind of the vibe. Otherwise, like, in a more general sense, like, I feel like that Fashion Nova era, maybe it's just not on my feet as much, but the photos don't feel as thirst trappy, I guess. Like, girls used to be posting photo booth photos of, like, themselves nude, but, like, scratching out the nipples. Like, it was, like, the body positivity era was a lot of nude posting. Yeah, I also feel like
we had the specific experience of being in these really art hoey type spaces where that was something you do, and you would also have this sort of, you could always just be like, no, it's not a thirst trap, this is me like expressing like bodily autonomy or something.
I'm celebrating my body. It was this kind of like editorial mag era, huge in Montreal, like Gal Shakira type, like lo-fi. I mean, I follow this girl now called I think her name's Harriet Richardson, and I really like her. She's like a kind of like a sex writer. And she, every time she posts like a new essay, she just has this like kind of cute way of posting it where it'll be the essay and then she'll have a themed photo booth photo to go with it of herself. And it feels very reminiscent of that era. I think her writing's great. I think her name's like Hats Richardson on Instagram. But she's kind of like bringing that back in a big way. And I still like that era. Like, I like the way it looked. I just think that like we've become much more sex negative. So like if I was to post some ethereal, soft, like semi-nude photo on Instagram, it just wouldn't go down the same way as it used to.
Yeah. Also, all of my extended family has like just gotten on Instagram and they've all found me.
There's that. I just unblocked my brother. Sorry, Nigel. Because during that era, I was like, we cannot be seeing this.
Well, simply, my mom just got Instagram and she follows like 10 people. And it's like me, Maya, Whitney Rose from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, like three Irish influencers, a Ryan Reynolds fan account, and like a few pro-Palestine pages.
Whoa. Kate, she's cool as fuck, first of all.
Yeah, but she doesn't follow back her own like sister who she's 11 months apart with. Like she, or anyone else from our family, but she follows Maya.
She's so cool. I love her. Your mom is so cool. The Whitney Rose shout is really like specific.
It's not even her favorite like housewife. I don't know why she follows Whitney Rose.
Maybe Whitney has a good Instagram. Maybe Whitney posts thirst traps.
My mom could be like, I don't even know where you see that someone's followed you. I'm like, what? Like, come. Anyways, airing out her. Okay, now that we've, you know, had this great pre-discussion, it's time to dive into my scientific research. So, let me first explain my methodology to you all. I crafted an anonymous survey, which I send out to my primary group chats and ask my friends to pass along. In the research world, this is called a snowball sampling method. The survey accounted for participants' gender, sexual orientation, and relationship status. There are 41 respondents in total. 63.4 identify as male, and 36.6 identify as female. I got too focused on recruiting men that I didn't really focus on recruiting anyone else. 50% of male participants identify as straight, 23% identify as gay, 15.4% identify as bisexual, and 11.5% identify as other. I'm sorry to the many beautiful sexualities in the pride flag that I just didn't have the ability to write them all out. So 60% of female participants identify as straight, and 40% identify as bisexual. I am sorry to the lesbians. I didn't do a good job at recruiting you either. But we all know you're on TikTok, so it's fine.
Yeah, no, the lesbians have thirst traps down.
We know that you're, like, kicking everyone else's ass anyways. We don't need your, you know, you got
such an ally.
Yeah. So 26.9% of male participants were single, 61.5% were dating, and 3.8% were engaged, and 7.7% were married. Is it helpful to read off every statistic? Too bad. More than half of female participants were single, and then 26.7% were dating, 13.3% were engaged, and 6.7% were married. I know who the one married person is. Hi, Manju. So,
hi, Manju.
I didn't ask for the ages of the respondents because I knew everyone filling it out would fall between the ages of 25 and 35. So you can assume that they fall into that age range. Most of the respondents are British or Canadian, but there's a few Americans thrown in there. And before we go further, as if our tone isn't conveying it, I feel like I should make it very clear that this survey was mostly just for fun and that my methodology is very flawed and I have no background in this kind of research. In fact, I dropped all of the classes that were supposed to teach me how to conduct it.
It's a bitch and I hate it, and that's why I'm not in academia anymore.
Yeah, numbers, graphs.
Research is the woat, but like, thank you for all of those who do it.
And I would also like to take a moment to thank my beautiful research assistants by name, Becca, Abby, Jojo, Megan, Manjulika, Lucy, and most of all, Alexa. Okay, and my Yed, she did also assist. But most of all, I want to thank my friend Alexa, who's a beautiful genius and a true woman in STEM, and who turned all of my data into this incredible research report that has color-coded graphs and like summaries, and it's honestly the funniest thing I've ever seen in the world. So thank you so much, Alexa, for taking your own time to do that. Lately, I've been more intentional about what I wear day to day, leaning into pieces that feel effortless, comfortable, and still put together. It just makes getting dressed simpler, and Quince has been my go-to. The fabrics feel elevated, the fits are flattering, and everything just works without overthinking it. I want to plan an entire vacation around Quince's gorgeous selection of 100% European linen pieces. With classic silhouettes in such a breathable fabric, they're the epitome of comfy chic. And Maya is looking at a summer kitchen refresh, so naturally, she's got her eye on a set of handcrafted wooden bowls from Quince. They're eco-friendly, made domestically, and somehow reasonably priced. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/rehash for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/rehash for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/rehash. So while we go over the results of the survey, Maya, we're going to go like question to question. I'm going to have you answer the questions as well. We're going question by question. So question number one, you've already answered this really. Have you ever posted a thirst trap?
Yes.
Intentionally? Yes.
Absolutely. Like so many times.
Lock her up.
Lock me up. We're going to show hole when we're in Ireland together next week. That's what we're going to do. We're going to show hole with the sheep.
The pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Majority of respondents said that they had intentionally posted a thirst trap, but it was like a very, very small margin. So 60% of women said that yes, they had intentionally posted a thirst trap, and 53.8% of men. Feels a bit low to me. What do you think?
No, it feels like higher than I expected for men, to be honest.
Interesting. Just you wait and see. Question number two. Can straight men post thirst traps?
Yes.
Okay. I know, like obviously the answer is yes, but I pose this question, and I only pose it to female participants, because I've long been very curious about straight men and their approach to thirst trapping, because I would argue that what falls under the definition of a thirst trap for straight men differs greatly from any other demographic.
Totally. And it's so, not really showing hole.
It's more about, like, the vibe than anything else.
Okay, but there is, like, a straight normie man who posts dick imprint gray sweatpants photos.
Yes, and we should never forget about them.
Like, we should be thinking about the types of men also.
80% of the female participants responded, yes, straight men can post thirst traps. However, if we go back to the number of respondents who admit to posting a thirst trap and account for sexual orientation, only 38.5% of straight men said yes, they have posted a thirst trap. And all of these men were either single or dating. So what do we think of this disparity? If majority of women, like the vast majority of women really, say that yes, straight men post thirst traps, but then only 38.5% of straight men admit to having done that, do we think either one, are the men lying? Or two, do we think that the women are interpreting certain posts as thirst-inducing that the men aren't cognizant to?
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the problem with your methodology. Did you provide
a... I'm sorry. That's not what I asked. That's not the question on the table.
Did you provide a standard definition of what a thirst trap is?
No. I figured that we're all grown-ups. We've been on the internet. One of the variables of your study
could be, how do people interpret thirst traps? And so therefore, you intentionally withheld certain information from your participants, which is okay.
Maybe you should hold tight.
Maybe you should shut your fucking mouth.
I'm sorry, you guys, this is our worst, most unhinged episode to date. And I fear that some of my friends that helped me with this might be like, I'm going to listen to Hannah's podcast for the first time and start with this and have a completely false idea of what we usually do on this show. This is a one-off. And I'm running on 4 hours of sleep. So, you know.
Me too, babe. So to answer your question earnestly, as best I can, I think that there's a disparity in intention here. So, like, there's a different an understanding in thirst trap from the poster and thirst trap from the spectator.
Okay, moving on.
I'm answering your question.
So, okay, three. What does a straight male thirst trap look like? So I said, for the respondents who said yes, to the woman, straight men can post a thirst trap. What does that look like?
I mean, to me, it's like groin, boy waist. Like, if there's like a photo of a, like, if a guy takes a photo, like it's a selfie and it's kind of like his midriff is in it, not his like exposed midriff, but like he's showing boy waist. Like, to me, I'm like, oh, you're trapping. But this is so subjective.
Well, no, but of course. But
it'll be like hidden in a carousel and he's like just walking to the store in this carousel dump, and in the photo it just like happens to place emphasis on like, oh, like his arm, or like, oh, his groin. But the more I say this out loud, the less I'm like, oh, that happens all the time. It almost never does.
No, but I get what you're saying.
The boys I know.
Do you want me to give you some descriptions from female respondents?
Yeah.
And what they said. So only 6.7% of respondents said their faces, or like mentioned anything to do with their faces, which I thought was interesting. 13.3% mentioned something to do with their outfits. So someone said maybe in a suit is the only acceptable time. And then someone else said fit pic with esoteric music. 30% mentioned something that showed off their personalities, such as showing off a skill in a way that is sure to attract people, or photo with a puppy or a small child, in brackets, fake empathy.
Okay, so this is more like an aura farm, though. This isn't a thirst trap because it has nothing to do with, like, horniness. Like, yeah, I think that the photos that I like that guys post are very different from, like, what I would consider a male thirst trap.
But this is the... So 40% mentioned something about showing off their bodies. So shirtless gym selfie, shirtless pic, selfie that's, like, mog serving face, skin showing, sweating... So those, I think perhaps this highlights the disparity in definitions of what is or isn't a thirst trap. However, I think if I may defend my methodology, I chose to keep definitions vague so that I could maybe surmise from the respondents' answers how they personally interpreted these things and what fell under those categories.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. And so in this case, I think it's very interesting because I think what I found generally is, like, as a trend with a lot of the female respondents is that there's a bit more of, like, a sex positive and, like, more forward tone to their answers. And so the fact that 40% were talking about their bodies, like, that was the most popular kind of angle, says something. But I also do think that it does speak to the fact that for some women, the thing that is making you, like, long after a guy, or honestly maybe get horny for a guy, is the fact that he, like, just made a really great, like, whatever, salad dressing or some shit.
Well, it's like the classic lady being objectified, man having, like, imminence and transcendence and objectivity and subjectivity. Like, it's like, okay, we're attracted to, like, the male subjectivity, and I want to see his face, and I want to see the music he listens to, and I want to see his, you know. And then I think, like, a pretty dominant feeling among men, because of however society is structured, is like, I want to see her ass, you know. Like, doesn't matter if her face is in it. Ass.
Yeah, I love a disembodied ass. I also think that, going back to my question that you didn't really answer,
your question and then you moved on.
But I think that this might account for the disparity, because maybe, perhaps, these men were operating from a definition of, you know, a thirst trap is you posting a hot photo of yourself, and not necessarily realizing that these were also elements that women interpreted as thirst-inducing.
That was my answer to your question. There's a difference in intention between the poster and the spectator.
I think I was hungover when I wrote this survey. Or I had a migraine, but, you know. So when I asked the straight men who took the survey, who said they had posted thirst traps, to describe the thirst traps that they post, these were the responses. Post breakup Insta post, in brackets, last slide of a dump. Selfie where I thought I looked good. Me looking lang, which is British for, I guess, like, hot. And then in brackets, merging out the sea, sweaty after sport, building stuff. In another set of brackets.
Emerging out of the sea is so cute. Damn.
No, it's merging out the sea.
Merging out the sea is extra cute.
Selfie. That was another one. And then the last one was, in quotations, look at this cool thing I'm doing. Or, look, I'm still alive and still looking healthy.
Aww.
This is how men describe their thirst traps. So what are your thoughts? Like, now that we've heard how women are thinking about male thirst traps versus the meager, vague responses from
the
men.
I think the men are just conceiving of it as, like, okay, I'm posting something that is meant to get general interest, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that is the ways that we derive general interest, or we generate general interest from people, are so different. Like, it's so heavily gendered, because women have been taught that to, like, generate interest is to do it sexually, you know? To receive sexual interest, versus, like, men have not been taught that, because they are not, like, the viewed subject, you know? And so they are like, okay, I'm going to generate interest by, like, she'll probably like this if I show her how cool my salad making skills are.
Also, to me, like, okay, so with our male friends, you know, one of them has been dumped before, like, you've even heard it through the grapevine, because they've suddenly posted a photo of themselves. The quality of the photo can vary. The, you know, context of the photo, all of that, it doesn't really matter. It's just that they're suddenly making a solo appearance on their Instagram, that you know that they're recently single. The photo itself isn't really what's enticing the attention, like, or the particulars of the photo. It's just, it serves as a bat signal to the women of your local area that, like, you might have gone to high school with, and there was a sort of, like, vibe that never got acted on, or, you know, this, like, third times removed acquaintance, or your barista, or whatever. Like, ladies.
It's very rare that straight men will just post a selfie, like, when they're in a relationship.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about all the times I was posting thirst traps, and I was like, damn, I was in a full-blown committed relationship for a lot of that era. Like, which, very healthy relationship. There were no scruples about that between us. But, like, I yeah, it's interesting to think about that.
It's because women are liars
and men live under rocks when they're in relationships.
The two genders.
You're like, Patrick has emerged from his rock. He merged out the rock, and here he is.
He literally, you know how the rock flips up and he's still stuck to the rock, Yeah, that's a straight man posting to a shitty photo to Instagram when he's gone through a breakup. So none of these responses, yeah, really provided new insights, but they just kind of confirmed my suspicions that straight men in our generation are like kind of out of their depths when it comes to like the art of thirst. I don't think they need to like be skillful or very intentional or very like creative at eliciting thirst. And so the lack of insight from my participants kind of showcases that, because even though they don't think they're posting thirst traps, the ladies say otherwise.
I mean, and it doesn't help when women are constantly like, why are you posting yourself? Like, why are you as a man, why do you have a photo of yourself on there? You know, like, I think a lot of women also do a lot of, you should have no posts if you're a man. You shouldn't even have Instagram. So I do think it's a little bit disincentivizing, I think.
Totally. I, in fairness, like, I think when a guy is good at Instagram, I'm like, that's a red flag. And then when a guy doesn't have an Instagram, I'm like, that's a red flag. You know?
To be totally honest, though, like, there was this guy from my college, I'm going to keep this as vague as possible, who we all perceived to be quite nerdy. And then out of college, he posted this, like, ripped shirtless photo, and everyone's opinions of him completely did a 180. Like, it was like a complete flip, where it was like, oh, he's hot. And then everyone had a crush on him after that. Like, it was kind of crazy. So that was like a really effective thirst trap. Like, it worked. And it was so clearly a thirst trap. He's like flexing.
So comparatively, when I asked men who didn't identify as straight to describe their thirst traps, the answers were very different. So we get slight mouth open, looking up to camera, wearing a tank top with my hair looking good and scrunching my eyebrows just a bit. We've got shirtless or in my underwear. Or showing off my figure in order to get validation. So, you know, the gays are honest.
The gays are so hot, dude. And it drives me crazy. They drive me crazy.
These gays,
they're trying to kill me. Yeah, the gays look amazing. They have it on lock and they're being sexy and sexual, and I support them. And the heteros are just like withering away and turning into husks.
I know. And they're like responding to other people being sexy, like in a positive, enthusiastic way.
Yeah, gay men are like really, they know what they're doing and they're good at it.
Allies. Question number 4. What is your primary reason for posting a thirst trap? And the respondents were given 5 options. Revenge, unearthing secret admirers, baiting a specific crush, confidence boost, or other. So which is yours? Which do you pick?
Mine is 100% baiting a specific crush. Mm-hmm. And then like the unearthing secret admirers is just like, that's happenstance. Like I'm like, oh, that's fun.
What is your success rate with that?
Depends on the crush. Sometimes the crush is like eager and willing and like supportive. Sometimes the crush sucks. Really depends. But that's when you know the crush is not worth it. If the crush is not engaging with it, you're kind of like, well, screw you anyways, you know?
Yeah, don't you know this was for you?
Do I have literally, to spell I'm like, be, it out for you? You be grateful.
Do I need to write your name on something? Me, I would say, not that I mean, famously, I don't post thirst traps, but I would think I would probably do it to either unearth secret admirers because I'm curious, or for a confidence boost, because who doesn't need one of those?
The times you have posted, it has been for confidence boost, I think.
Yes, yeah. I think usually, like, the thought of a crush seeing a thirst trap that I'm posting, like, makes me feel embarrassed.
Hannah's thirst traps that she's posted where she's like, oh my god, it'll be just like her fully clothed holding a drink. And she's like, oh my god. I can't believe I did that.
I know. I was going through this survey. I've been really, like, not judgmental, but just like, wow, like, what? None of you guys say you post thirst traps? And then I had to be like, bitch, get off your high horse.
We're out of the thirst trap era, but I've just been yearning so much for the 2010s recently. Like, I have them yearning and pining, and I just would love to go back to the photo booth era, selfie, like, confessional girl. Like, reading Famesick by Lena Dunham has made me, like, just yearn.
I'm gonna start reading that. And also, I took photo booth photos today on my laptop, but they didn't look very good.
I'm not kidding. But usually Hannah and I do a preliminary call before this, because we know we're gonna waste time if we start talking right when we're supposed to start recording. And while we're talking, Hannah texts me like 3 selfies and is like, should I post these? Doesn't say it out loud, we're in the middle of a conversation. She texts me, should I post these?
Just a little peek behind the curtain.
And they were kind of thirst traps. They were kind of her clear. Both of us have selfie face. If Hannah catches herself in a mirror, her face immediately contorts into a very specific face.
I didn't know that I was getting roasted today on this episode.
Yeah, your ass is
I would have worn sunscreen. Back to my poll. So, of my respondents, a very small minority said revenge, which I'm like, I was hoping I'd get more revenge answers. Same with unearthing secret admirers. The people aren't curious. Around a quarter said baiting a specific crush. Nearly half said confidence boost. And then 13% said other, which both of these responses are from, you know, queer men. And I wanted to read them because they're both great. The first one is seeing something in an image of myself that surprises me and seeming to have a potential angle, usually unperceived, which often transpires to remain unperceived by others on being posted.
I love that.
And then the second one was not baiting a specific crush, but more like checking in on circles of homo attraction.
That's also awesome. God, these are great. This is really a W for the gays today.
My main takeaway is like, oh, right, gay men have it figured out. So number five was, how often do you fall for a thirst trap? Maya, be honest, how often do you fall for a thirst trap?
Like, from men? Not all. Well, there's not, the men I'm interested in aren't really posting themselves. So almost never.
But like, okay, what about one of these like, hey guys, I'm newly single, so like, this is what my face looks like because I haven't posted a photo of myself since 2017. Like, what about one of those pictures?
I like that. I love when someone just, I just love when people I know post. Like, I love when my friends show hole on the internet or even post a selfie. It's my favorite thing to ever see. But with men, I mean, like, no, because I just am very specific with who I'm interested in. And so if I'm not interested, like, if I'm not thinking about you, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, this person. It's so rare.
I like an Instagramless man, personally.
Yeah, like, I need you to have, like, one photo on there, and it's of, like, a bug.
But also, like, I want to encourage the men of Instagram to get out there and to show whole.
Like, we might not be interested in you, and we probably think you're a loser. But...
Yeah, but I know some girls who like that kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah, someone somewhere. No, post how you want, be yourselves.
Yeah, please. So, the most frequent response from women was that they sometimes fall for a thirst trap. While the most frequent response from men was that they rarely fall for a thirst trap. Now, keeping in mind that majority of my female respondents were single versus a smaller percentage of male respondents, which might make for this disparity in responsiveness, but still interesting. The ladies might be generally more susceptible. All the more reason to post whole.
Nah, men are just more sex negative these days. And that's my take away from this, to be honest. They're so in like a ladies don't objectify yourself era. And I think it's so boring. Like, whatever. And Sam Levinson's not helping.
Yeah, he's like, yes, ladies, objectify yourselves.
He's making everyone more sex negative. I'm like, you're ruining it for everyone.
So question number seven. Do you follow anyone specifically for their thirst traps? I'm going to assume your answer is no.
No. If Adam Friedland posting, like, his videos counts as that, then yes. But no.
Right. And maybe that's the thing is that really, like, maybe he feels confident enough in his intelligence that he can also allow himself to be objectified, whereas other men are like, you know, they don't want to be just known as a husk. There's something more going on inside of there.
Well, clavicular's probably ruined it for them, too. The same way that Sam Levinson's ruined it for women.
Oh, my God. So true. And those are two of the... How many? Four horsemen of the apocalypse?
Yeah.
So who are the other two?
Me and you, babe.
Oh.
We're taking everyone down. Okay.
So the majority of respondents did not follow someone specifically for the thirst traps. But a greater portion of men followed people for their thirst traps than women. So 34.6% versus 20%, which makes more sense. And following for thirst traps was more commonly reported among men who were single or dating, which also makes sense.
The men are saying they don't fall for thirst traps, but they follow for thirst traps. Like, it's just so, like,
well, guys. No, more men than women follow for thirst traps, but it's still the minority of men. It's like 34.6%.
True. Okay.
Yeah. And this is including the gays. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Question number 8. Do you consider it a betrayal if your partner likes someone else's thirst trap?
It depends. Okay. So I had an ex who, like, there was someone in our mutual circles who she was posting similarly, like, this is back in the late 2010s, but, like, similarly kind of ethereal, diaristic, you know, like, arty nudes. And she's great. Like, I really like her, but he liked one of her, like, nude photos. And I was like, it's just, like, I think one of the first fights we had. But I was like, it's a little too close to home. Like, I don't really like when you like it someone's thirst trap who is, like, in our social circles. And he was like, sorry about that. Like, yeah, I won't do that again. If it's just, like, influencers, to be completely honest, I don't care at all. Like, maybe I'll think you're a little bit goony if you follow, like, a million baddies on Instagram. But, like, I don't really care. I think people should be allowed to have sexual desire and to find pleasure from where they find pleasure, like, as long as you're not cheating on me. Like, I don't consider that cheating. I don't really care if it's just, like, a random influencer. If I think she's kind of lame, then I'm, like, questioning, you know,
right,
myself. Like, I'm like, why are you following this lame person?
Oh, but, like, you're doubting their taste and therefore, like,
yeah, you? Then I'm like, totally. It's like when you look at someone's exes and you kind of want them to be cute because you're like, well, then I'm cute, you know. But no, I have a pretty long leash with that. I don't really care that much.
Most of the answers I got, well, like, a large percentage of them were people saying that, like, it was only under certain conditions. Like, if it was someone they had a romantic past with.
Oh, totally. Yeah, weird.
Yeah, if it was someone that they kind of knew, or, yeah, if things were weird in the relationship, or it was, like, a pattern of behavior, similarly to you. Very few people said yes. 26.7% of women did, and 7.7% of men said yes. The most popular answer for both men and women, though, was no.
Okay.
So our last question, what makes a good thirst trap? This is the most interesting one for me. Final question is that I asked everyone to describe what makes a good thirst trap. And the responses from all the women and queer men generally touched on the positive qualities that a thirst trap can have. So people mentioned confidence. They mentioned creativity. They mentioned technical elements, which I liked, like lighting and posing and even props. They mentioned good outfits, hot bodies, and sexiness, which, you know, would be the key ingredient, you would think, in a thirst trap. Only, like, a handful touched on things that they didn't want to see in thirst traps, like pretension or douchiness. It was generally, like, positive. So on the other hand, the responses from straight men went in a very different direction. So here's my little, like, word cloud of of adjectives. We've got implied, coy, deniable, naive, subtle, and unintentional. What do you think about this?
Yes, this makes sense. I think that it's coming from this desire among men for women to be kind of, like, demure. I think that's an element of it. Not demure of personality, but I do think that there's something, like, erotically charged in the desire from men to women in, yeah, coyness and unknowingness and naivete and a sexual demureness, I would say. I think that men find that when it's, like, all out there on the table, that's, like, unattractive. And, like, I can kind of see that. I do think that there's something gendered about it. And I don't think it's, like, individual men's, like, there's nothing wrong necessarily. But I do think that there's, like, a gendered element to it in, like, expectations of women and the way that erotic desire is derived from straight men of women. It makes sense to me. Yeah. And I think that because of this general culture of, like, anti-gooning, like, this general response to, like, gooning and simping and, like, this overabundance of porn, there is just, like, a general reaction among men to not be, like, overtly horny and thirsty. Like, there's like, a backlash culture, a counterculture almost, that I find interesting. And I've, like, talked to the men I know about this, like, while you were doing this episode, and that was kind of what I got from them. And I think that's interesting when we juxtapose it to, like, the body positivity, kind of sex positivity era that we've talked about in recent, in, like, past episodes, like the Sasha Grey one, where it was kind of like in like men during the indie sleaze era capitalizing on women's like overt sexual, like, you know, mm-hmm. sexuality in this Terry Richardson era of like, yeah, queen, like show it all. Like it's we've really like kind of swung around from that. And I find that interesting. There's like a desire among men to kind of like protect their own like sexual urges. Yeah. And in some ways, I think it's like well-intentioned because it's like, yes, there is an abundance of like sexual imagery that doesn't feel like actually tethered to sex or feels very divorced from it. I get that. But then part of it sometimes feels a little bit like, stop showing off your body, you know?
Yeah. I almost wonder if it's also this idea of like, they want to feel like they're the ones who like discover what is kind of sexy or interesting. Okay. Because you know how women love medium ugly men?
Yes.
We love to be like, I've discovered that this guy is attractive. And that makes him all the more attractive to me. He's my little project. I wonder, and it's not quite the same, but like if similarly, the idea of like not knowing you're posting a thirst trap, like that came up a lot. And like, I wonder if men kind of want to be able to look at a picture of a woman and be like, she doesn't even realize that like she's so sexy right now simply by like making eye contact with the camera or whatever.
Yeah, and I completely get that too. And I think that eroticism is very much tied up in that, in like what you can't see and what you can't have. And I think, yeah, the element of discovery in it. There's something also cute about it. Like, I'm not saying that it's an inherently negative thing that men answer this. Like, I do think it's kind of like wholesome and cute as well. And I feel that way too. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Okay, I've been thinking a lot about like how we're in this supposed like era of yearning, which I don't actually know if I fully believe is actually happening, because I don't really feel like the landscape of like sexual relations between men and women have really shifted that greatly.
No, I don't think anyone's horny.
No, but the thing is that yearning is supposed to be the replacement of horniness, right? Like what thirst was maybe to the 2010s, yearning is to the 2020s. It's this like long-standing sort of watching someone from a distance. It's like not the person who likes your Instagram like story thirst trap. It's just someone who views it.
Sorry, to amend that, I don't think anyone's feeling things at all. The general right. zeitgeist, it is not being characterized by feeling.
Well, I think like people are trying to be like, this is the new trend in dating, which is like actually just like having like liking someone instead of just going on a million Hinge dates, basically. Yeah. But they've packaged it up as yearning. But I do think that perhaps, you know, if we're thinking about thirst traps that people are drawn to that, you know, actually are perhaps defined by their lack of thirst, then that might be more like an act of yearning or like some kind of thing related to yearning culture, which I don't necessarily believe in, but I think like in the way that it's being packaged in these think pieces and like trend article forecasts, but like is reflective, I guess, of the more Victorian sexual politics of our current era.
Victorian sexual. Yeah, no, totally. I think it could be both. I think that it could be both.
Bring back Drake dick imprint sweatpants 2016 Coachella.
Whatever happened to BBL Drizzy?